you need to crank up some energy with projection, inflection, enthusiasm to really hold your audience together.
Welcome to the Super Managers Podcast, where we interview leaders from all walks of life to tease out the habits, thought patterns, learnings, and experiences that help them be extraordinary at the fine craft of management. Our goal is to bring you the lessons and the insights so that you don't have to learn through your own mistakes, but so that you can shortcut your way to being a great leader. This podcast is brought to you by Fellow, a software platform that helps managers and their teams collaborate on meeting agendas, track action items, and turn chaotic meetings into productive work sessions. Check it out at www.fellow.app. Hey, fellow managers and leaders, I'm Aiden, and I'm the CEO of Fellow.app. Today's guest is Gary Rogers. He's one of America's leading public speaking skills coaches. He has over 40 years of experience helping leaders at organizations like Procter & Gamble and Coca-Cola improve their communication. Today, we thought that Gary would be an excellent guest to have on the show because public speaking is such an important part about management and leading teams. Oftentimes, we have to present and or we have to communicate something really important. Sometimes it's to smaller audiences, sometimes it's to larger audiences. And the way that we communicate and the way that we present ourselves has a lot to do with how that message is going to be received. So we thought public speaking was such an important topic that we'd bring Gary onto the show that we could dive deeper and hear from someone who's been doing this for a long time, but also teaching others how to do it for a very long time at some of the highest levels, really spend the time and learn these lessons from him. So this episode is a little bit different than what we're normally used to on the Super Managers Podcast, but nonetheless, we thought this is something that everybody could benefit from. So without further ado, let's welcome Gary Rogers to talk to us about public speaking on this episode, episode 67 of the Super Managers Podcast. Gary, welcome to the show.
Thank you. It's great to be here. I couldn't sleep last night. I was so excited to be on your program.
That's the nicest, thing that someone has said after I said, welcome to the show. That's pretty cool. I think that one's going to be tough to beat. I love the energy. So Gary, you have had quite the extensive career. You've helped organizations like Procter & Gamble, Coca-Cola, AT&T, and so much more. You're America's leading public speaking skills coach. How did you get into this?
Well, that's a great question. I'm an old guy. I've been around a long time. I started out basically with 3M Company 50 years ago. I started as a salesman, and then they made me a sales trainer, and eventually a training manager. In the course of my management career, they taught us public speaking skills, and part of our training curricula was teaching corporate managers with 3M Company all over the country public speaking skills. Really led to 10 years later, I got so excited about public speaking, I left 3M Company and built my own production company, television production company, spent 35 years in the television production motion picture industry. Basically, it all started with 3M Company.
Oh, wow. That's crazy. So you've been in television production for 35 years, and you later on sold that company, right?
I did. I sold the company and basically retired a dozen years ago. That lasted all of 2 weeks. I got so sick of just sitting around doing nothing. I said, I got to do something. And I thought just at that time, a dozen years ago, video conferencing was just starting to come onto the internet. And I thought, I've spent most of my life making people look good on camera. Perhaps I can go online and teach presentation skills. For the last dozen years, I've been online teaching courses on presentation, public speaking, primarily related to video conferencing. As you know, the whole world now has come to video conferencing, and people are making a lot of mistakes as soon as they turn on their webcam. My job is to help them look good on camera.
So, Gary, this is really interesting. Obviously, it's super topical. The idea of being on, you know, webcam and everybody's there. You know, one of the things I think that are just like easy things to check off, and I heard this really interesting way to put it, which is, you know, the cost of a flight and a hotel. Like if you just took the cost of one flight and hotel and then invested in video, you know, equipment, it really like makes up for it. And it makes a huge difference in terms of like what webcam quality can actually deliver. But I'm sure that it's much more than just webcam quality that you're talking about, right?
Oh, absolutely. You've got to come across professionally. Right now, we're talking with each other, and I feel like you're in my office, literally. In my day, I had to spend literally ages and ages on airplanes flying to my customers. You don't need to do that anymore with video conferencing, but you do need to know what you're doing.
Yeah. So, no, that's awesome. And so one of the questions, I guess, like I was going to ask you, so you've spent a lot of time then working with corporations everywhere on their communications and corporate videos. I'm curious, like, what are some of the challenges that, you know, at that time you found that companies in general had with their communications?
As I mentioned, we were teaching corporate managers public speaking skills. And I approached him with an idea. 3M company had just come out with 3/4-inch videotape. Now, this was years before home video. This was industrial video that companies were starting to use. I approached my manager and said, Hank, we're trying to teach managers public speaking presentation skills. A picture's worth 1,000 words. Why don't we record their presentations and show it to them as soon as they've finished? Let them see the mistakes they're making. Again, a picture's worth 1,000 words. And he kind of thought about that for a little bit. And he said, you know, I think that's a great idea. We went out and bought some very expensive television production, video production equipment, put a monitor in our conference room along with a camera and recorded their presentations. And these people, as soon as they saw themselves, and most of them had never seen themselves on TV before, as soon as they saw themselves, they said, oh my God. Gosh, is that me? Am I really doing that? And immediately they started making corrections. Again, a picture is worth 1,000 words, and we didn't have to tell them. They saw it themselves. At that moment, I absolutely fell in love with video.
What's interesting today, of course, with all of us doing video calls for the large majority of our communications. It's interesting that, like, just this concept of recording is so much easier now. And so, you know, I don't think a lot of people necessarily do this, but it's nice that the ability to go back and rewatch a presentation you did or rewatch, you know, how you communicated during a meeting after getting, you know, some feedback, even your facial expressions. I mean, all these things now are things that you can actually do. Whereas before, really the only way to say, you know, to know that you reacted in a certain way during a meeting would be if someone actually told you that. But now you actually have the ability to self-reflect in this way. So it's really interesting how that's now accessible to everyone.
Absolutely.
I guess we should really also talk about something that you're very passionate about. You know, you obviously help people show up really well on video. But one of the things that you're also an expert on and have coached a lot of people on is just public speaking. I mean, we all know that public speaking is one of the biggest phobias out there. It ranks ahead of being scared of ghosts and clowns. So you have a bunch of experience on the topic. Why don't we start with, like, why do you think in a very deeply rooted way. Why do you think that this is actually a fear that people have?
Well, it is the number one human fear that most human beings have. Between 75 to 95% of the entire world population is scared to death of public speaking. It's a human fear that it holds so many people back. Why do people get so frightened? I think because they know that as soon as they get in front of somebody else, they're being judged. All eyes are on that individual. They want to do good. They want to do well. They want to look good. They want to come across well. And they're frightened of making a mistake. And that happens to anybody, but people get so frightened of the unknown, if you will, they just tend to hold back, and it can literally kill corporate careers. Managers that excel because they stand out. And one of the best ways of doing that is through public speaking. AT&T, and Stanford University came out with a study stating that the number one predictor of professional success is the ability to speak well. And so many statistics said 60% of people get turned down for a job because they can't speak well. Time magazine came out with a study showing that 90% of all Fortune 500 companies require good public speakers in order to achieve success. People are looking for that, but they don't teach it really in schools anymore. In my state, you can get a teaching certificate. An attorney can graduate from law school without even taking a speech class. To me, that's just almost a criminal.
Yeah, no, that is very interesting. And I do agree with you that it does probably hold a lot of careers back.
We talk about fear, fear of making mistakes. I remember Rick Perry in one of the presidential debates. He was running for president. It was his turn, and I think it was Chris Wallace asked him a question. He was touting he was going to eliminate three governmental departments if he were made president. And Chris Wallace said, what are some of the three departments you would eliminate? And he said, well, first, I'd eliminate the Department of Education. And then I would eliminate the Department of Transportation, and then I would eliminate the, and he just got stuck. And he just floundered for a moment. Chris Wallace said, you can't name the third department you're going to eliminate? And he said, oops. And the headline in the national newspapers the next day was, oops. I mean, he made a terrible mistake. And everybody knows that you're going to make mistakes. That's common. But they don't want to do it in front of other people. So they just sit back. And that's so sad. I'm going to make mistakes in our presentation here. I know that. And I want to look good. I want to sound good to your audience. But that's just part of life. And people that are willing to make those mistakes can learn from them and progress. Those that don't just really are held back.
Yeah. So it seems like at a very core level, you have to be willing to make mistakes. Everybody makes mistakes. It's okay for you to do that. But what is a good way for people to proactively get rid of the fear?
Well, number one, learn some public speaking and presentation skills. And there are many, many skills that make a good presenter or public speaker. Learn those skills. And most of all, practice, 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 practice. If you're going to get up in front of an audience in a formal speech, you need to put that speech together very well. And then you need to be prepared. The only way you can do that is by practicing. Know what you're doing. The greatest fear is to just get up and try to wing it. you really need to know what you're talking about. Otherwise, you are very prone to mistakes. So know your audience, know your subject, put it together properly, learn the skills you need to look good in front of an audience, and practice.
Yeah. So, okay. So practicing makes a lot of sense. You talk about public speaking skills. I'm wondering, for the audience listening today, what is one thing that is a skill that they can start adapting, or something that they can start practicing?
Well, you mentioned when we first came on the air, you liked my energy. That's one thing I would recommend to any speaker, to use energy. And the best way to do that is three skills: projection, inflection, and enthusiasm. That will carry a speaker so far, and anybody can do it. Now, if I were just sitting down next to you in a setting talking to you, I wouldn't be as energized as I am right now. Whenever I get on a podcast or whenever I'm teaching a course, I use a lot more energy. I would really tone it down a little bit, and I would talk a little bit more like this. Now, there's nothing wrong the way I'm talking right now, is there, Aiden?
No, not at all.
That's my normal voice. If I were just sitting right next to you and carrying on a conversation, I would probably be talking like this. Years ago, I did some radio announcing, and I remember one commercial I did was for Carling Black Label Beer. I'm just going to give you a verse of it. Happy holidays ahead, days of hospitality, friendliness, and the welcome refreshment of Carling Black Label Beer. Now, that's, again, not the way I normally talk. This is the way I normally talk. But if I gave that radio commercial the same way I normally talk, happy holidays ahead, days of hospitality, friendliness, and the welcome refreshment of Carling Black Label Beer. Now, that's the way I talk, but you'd turn me off the radio instantly. Instead of happy holidays ahead, days of hospitality, friendliness, and the welcome refreshment of Carling Black Label Beer. Can you hear a difference?
Yeah, it's night and day.
It really is. I turn up the energy when I'm on a podcast with you. Your audience would go to sleep if I talked the way I would normally talk, if it just you and I sitting together. But you need to crank up some energy with projection, inflection, enthusiasm to really hold your audience together. And you do that wonderfully. You are just an absolute pro. You come across very smoothly. You've got a lot of enthusiasm. You're easy to listen to, and people won't turn you off if you continue to do that. Same thing is true with anybody. If you're up in front of an audience, saying anything or doing anything, give them, project so they can hear you, give some inflection in your voice, and most importantly, use some enthusiasm, and you'll hold their attention a lot longer.
Yeah, no, it's really interesting. I think I might butcher the story, but I remember reading one of my favorite books. I think it's called The Charisma Myth. And in it, they tell this story about how, I think it was Marilyn Monroe, and she was going to go walk down the street. And people, like, I think the people that were with her said that, hey, but if you start walking down the street, everyone's going to recognize you and they're going to know it's you. And then she said, no, they're not. And so she just walks around and just walks like a normal person. And she's like, see, nobody will. And then, but she's like, but I can also turn it on. And so she turns it on, and immediately, like, people start to notice her. And so it definitely is, I think, like, this is a very important point, which is, like, there is an on-off switch to presentation mode versus talking mode. And if you talk the way that you do on the podcast all the time, in all of your conversations, people would think you're weird too, right?
Oh, yeah.
And I think this is a very interesting point on energy in general. I want to dig into the other two items that you mentioned as well. So you also mentioned projection and inflection. Let's start with projection. What is that?
projection is the tonal quality of your voice. You're giving more volume. So key to any speaker in a small room or large room. Many times you'll get in a dozen people and talk just like you would talk if you were right next to an individual. That's not going to cut it in just a dozen people. You need to project so every one of those people can hear you. Crank up the volume. Don't go overboard, but crank up the volume. Inflection is changing the words to emphasize a point. Inflection instead of inflection. I'm changing the tonal quality of the word inflection. And when I do that, I use my hands. I'm using some gestures. It comes almost automatically. And enthusiasm is something that anybody can use instead of just talking to an individual without any enthusiasm, without any projection, without any tonal quality. They're just kind of a monotone. And again, people are going to turn you off very quickly. If you're in front of a group, you've got to employ those skills, otherwise you're going to lose them.
Yeah, no, that's super interesting. I think like the energy one, it's interesting the way you define it, because it's also, you can tell if someone is passionate about something or not. And, you know, very oftentimes if you talk to someone about a passion project, you'll notice that their enthusiasm will change as they're starting to talk about it. If I'm really into sports, yeah, and I start talking about sports, you know, I can talk very passionately about it. And that is contagious. I think passion can be contagious in that way. One tactical question I had about inflection, though, was, is there like a way that you should think about using it? Like, is it that you maybe end sentences with a lower tone than you start them? Or like, how do you actually employ this inflection in practice?
Well, mothers and fathers do this all the time with their kids. If they're disciplining their kids, they're going to use the projection, inflection, and enthusiasm in a different way. Say, Johnny, don't you dare do that. Instead of Johnny, don't you dare do that. It doesn't cover the same power and get this the message I think the parents want to get across. Sometimes you have to use those tonal qualities in order to emphasize the point you're trying to get across. And it's in your mind, what do I want to emphasize? And if I'm going to emphasize that word or words, I'm going to need to use some inflection to emphasize that particular point by just changing the tonal quality of your voice. And people automatically do it without even thinking about it. But then when they get up in front of an audience, if they're not really trained to do it, they start to worry. How am I going to make this sound more enthusiastic? Just people draw back.
Hey there, just a quick note before we move on to the next part. If you're listening to this podcast, you're probably already doing one-on-one meetings. But here's the thing. We all know that one-on-one meetings are the most powerful, but at the same time, the most misunderstood concept and practice in management. That's why we've spent over a year compiling the best information, the best expert advice into this beautifully designed 90 plus page ebook. Now, don't worry, it's not single spaced font, you know, lots of text. There's a lot of pictures. It's nice, easily consumable information. We spent so much time building it. And the great news is that it's completely free. So head on over to fellow.app/blog to download the definitive guide on one-on-ones. It's there for you. We hope you enjoy it. And let us know what you think. And with that said, let's go back to the interview. One of the interesting things about being remote and hybrid is we start to rely also a lot more on written communication, a lot of chat apps being used like Slack or MS Teams. And so what's interesting is we had another guest on the show, and Cameron Harold. And so he was talking about the dangers of written communication. If you take something as basic as any sentence, the example he used is, I didn't say that you were beautiful. And you literally, you emphasize a different word. There's some, you know, each word you emphasize, it's a completely different, you know, understanding. I didn't say you were beautiful. I didn't say you were beautiful, and so on and so forth. And so, yeah, this, the inflection makes a huge difference. So it comes down to, what do you want to emphasize?
The biggest point that I need to make in communicating with people in an audience or on a video conference call, and all of my time now is spent on video conference call, the biggest mistake that people make is not connecting with their audience on a video conference call like Zoom.
Because we're on so many of these Zoom calls, I want to talk about projection a little bit. If you're in a room and there's, you know, a bunch of people, and say it's a larger room and there are more people, it kind of makes sense to project your voice louder so it can actually get to everybody. How do you kind of vary that in a world where you're on a video conference and, you know, people aren't that far away, right? And It's kind of like a, how do you figure out like when to change into presentation mode and presentation voice on a video conference? And so, for example, if there was only one other person in the video conference and you went into like presentation voice and mode, that might come across as insincere. But at some point, if it's a group of 100 people on a video conference, maybe that voice and that way of presenting is more of a thing that you should do. How do you think about when to turn it on?
That's a good question. On a video conference call, you have the luxury of turning your speaker volume up if you can't hear the individual that you're talking to. You don't have that luxury in person. In person, if you're just talking to one or say a dozen people in a conference, and one of those dozen people says something to me, if I can't really hear them very well, I'll just ask them, I'm sorry, I'm having trouble hearing you. Could you speak up a little bit? Just have to ask them in a smile to speak up. And I do that all the time. If I can't hear them, just to ask them to speak up. Again, in a video conference call, you have the ability to crank up the volume so you can hear them beautifully. That's one of the real benefits of a video conference call versus being in person. You don't have to project as much, if you will, but you definitely want to crank it up so that the energy comes through and you don't put your people to sleep. Did I answer that question?
Yeah, I guess I'm wondering is that, like, we've kind of clearly demonstrated that the basically that there is almost like you go into presentation mode and then you get out of presentation mode. Is there a difference between if I'm presenting to a group of three people or if I'm presenting in front of a group of, you know, 100 people? And it is also on a video conference, or does it not really matter?
Okay. In my opinion, there is absolutely no difference whatsoever. If I'm talking to three people on a video conference call, or if I'm talking to 100 people, I'm going to use the same energy, the same inflection, the same enthusiasm in three people or one person or 100 individuals. I think it's important to use the same energy talking to each of those individuals so that, again, you don't put them to sleep.
So let's go into talking about fear a little bit more. So there's some sort of tactical tips that we've talked about, you know, realizing that everybody makes mistakes. It's just part of the job. You're probably not going to get an oops headline, right? And so with that said, so maybe that alleviates some fear. We talked about practicing a lot, although I'm curious about what you think in terms of if you practice too much or you memorize a script, how detrimental that can be. But what other ways, like what else can you do to reduce the fear?
Well, number one is be prepared. One of the biggest mistakes that people make is trying to put their, if they're doing a formal presentation, trying to put that formal presentation down on a piece of paper like this and memorizing it. As soon as you make one little mistake, which you're going to make, you lose your train of thought. You start to sweat. That's the worst thing that you can do. I would suggest put your thoughts down on paper and go over them over and over and over so that you've got those thoughts. It doesn't matter if you make a mistake. You know what you're talking about. You know what to cover. You really don't want to get in a situation where you're so structured. And you see it all the time, where a person will get their notes or their piece of paper and they'll start reading from it. Worst thing you can do in a talk. If you want to put people to sleep and lose them, read your talk. I never, ever, ever read a talk. Now, there's certain times throughout the talk you might need to read a sentence or a quote from somebody. Nothing wrong with that. But to read a talk from beginning to end, I've never done that in my entire life, literally. Now, I do have some little 3x5 cards that you can put down and just glance. Oh, now, what did I want to talk about next? Just glance at it. Oh, yeah. You've got it in your mind. You've practiced it over and over. Just keep maybe 6 or 7 bullet points on a little 3x5 card to keep you on track. But know what you're talking about. Practice it. And you really can't go wrong.
Yeah. No, this is super interesting. I do agree. It's if you don't, you know what you're talking about, you've practiced it, but you don't really want to, because otherwise, you know, just send the document to them and everybody can kind of read it on their own time.
Read a book.
Yeah. And so this is this I think is an important point. What do you say to memorizing? So should people, you know, memorize? I mean, this is kind of not as bad as reading directly everything, but should they go about actually memorizing a speech?
Yes, sometimes they should memorize. They should have an elevator speech and they should know it backwards and forwards. If somebody asks you to take 1 minute and tell them about your business, your company, your service, they should have that in their mind. They should have it memorized so they don't have to stumble all over the place. I go to a lot of events where people will ask me to spend 1 minute telling about me. You got to memorize that. Know it in your head so that you can say it instantly when the time comes up. Memorizing is difficult. You got to spend a lot of time at memorization. But memorizing a whole talk, I mean, that's really difficult. And you're absolutely going to make a mistake or many mistakes. If it's a 5 or a 10 minute talk, you're not going to say every word perfectly. I can guarantee it. Never happened. But memorizing little bits, if you've got a little 3 or 4 word or 3 or 4 sentence important point you want to get across, memorize it by all means so you can say it without floundering.
Yeah. So I think, you know, one of the important points for everyone, for the listeners to kind of take away here is that, you know, we call it public speaking, but obviously this is just communication with people in general. And
absolutely,
yes, the number of people who are in the audience matters. But I think like the other thing that matters is the importance of what is being said. So if you are communicating, for example, really critical feedback, that is going to be tough to digest, that should certainly be the sort of thing that you are practicing, potentially memorizing, and even maybe rehearsing with someone else, because at the end of the day, for something so important, it doesn't really matter like what your intention was or how you communicated it, but how the person understood it. And again, it's about now for every piece of feedback, you don't do that. But the more the importance increases, then that's something that you need to spend more time on. So I think all the things that you're talking about make a lot of sense. If you have a 50 person audience and like this is during a meeting, I mean, this is 50 people that are maybe going to spend 20 or 30 minutes with you. That's a lot of, you know, hours put together. So it does make sense because this is an opportunity to communicate a message and communicate it clearly. If you're not Absolutely. Spending the time to practice it, like you're saying, then this is a poor utilization of that timing. And so practice does have a huge impact.
It does. We're living in such an incredible age. The whole world can pick up video conferencing for free. It doesn't cost a penny. You can talk to anybody in any corner of the world with an internet connection. It has become the most powerful promotional trained sales tool I've ever seen. But whenever you turn on your webcam, you're public speaking. You're talking to somebody, and people get frightened of that. They need to learn those skills.
Yeah, and Gary, what you mentioned is that, you know, you used to do this in the old days of basically making sure that you record these meetings, but now, like, you know, most meetings are recorded, and so this is just an opportunity for people to go back, watch the way they presented, watch the way they projected their inflections and their energy and enthusiasm, and really actually try and improve this over the course of time. One of the things that we like to say is that super managers are constantly working on their craft. And I think it's very important to note that public speaking is a very important tool in the toolkit, and it needs to be worked on constantly. This is a question that I have for you, which is, you know, I feel like it sounds like you have been working on your craft of public speaking for a long time, and you've obviously taught a lot of people about it. But what's one of the things that, you know, you have learned or you employ today that maybe even 10, 15 years into your career, where most people would arguably say you were very good?
Well, doing it over and over and over and over again. Practice, 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 making mistakes. When I was a little kid, I was very, very shy. In fact, I'm still shy. Most people would never believe that. But to get up in front of people when I was small, it scared me to death. And I had to learn how to do that. I had a wonderful, wonderful teacher in high school that taught speech. It was one of the greatest courses I ever took in my life, and it literally changed my life. Just a high school teacher. I was frightened when I started, but I kept trying and trying and trying, and that's the only way that people can learn anything, is to get out and do it and make mistakes and realize the mistakes you're making and improve them and work on it. The more you do it, the better you become, like anything that you do in life. It's just a skill that you have to perfect with training. You need to know the skills that needs to be taught to you, and you need to work on it. And the more you do it, the better you become.
And that's great advice, Gary, and also a great place to end it. Thanks so much for doing this.
Thank you so much. You've been just so great to work with. I can't thank you enough. Thank you, Aidan.
And that's it for today. Thank you so much for tuning into this episode of the Super Managers Podcast. You can find the show notes and transcript at www.fellow.app/supermanagers. If you like the content, be sure to rate, review, and subscribe so you can get notified when we post the next episode. And please, tell your friends and fellow managers about it. It'd be awesome if you could help us spread the word about the show. See you next time.